Blog Talk Hello. Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Tonight, I want to place an emphasis on something that affects many of us, most directly, some indirectly. What we are seeing now are our children going back to school. In the old days, we didn't go back until after Labor Day. But there was a hidden motive in that. One, we didn't have air conditioning. And two, there was a need to harvest the crops. So we look at those things. Today, we don't have all of those impediments. We have air conditioning. In fact, we are contributing to the need for it, but that's a different topic for a different day, different subject. But I want to give you a heads up on how we can succeed in the world today. Habits that we develop as children carry into life. Now, I want to make sure that you understand that not all habits are bad. Yeah, we have bad habits, and we use it as if it is one word, a bad habit. But we cultivate habits, both good and bad. And if we cultivate good habits, then we are on the road to success. We can replace bad habits with good habits. And so what I want to do and what I'm working on today, what the focus of our program today is ensuring that success. Now, many of us may be beyond school. We're never beyond learning. I want you to understand that. We are never beyond learning. Even successful people learn. They learn every day. And if you are not, you need to stop, take a minute, and look at what is going on in your life in terms of success. As we look about us, we see people sometimes struggling. Sometimes it is us struggling. Sometimes we can get out of that struggle, and sometimes we don't realize that we can get out of that struggle. The focus today is on developing good academic habits, and they go forth into other areas of our life. If we have a passion that we are pursuing, we want to get better at it each and every day. I know that I do. I have found that there is something to me more important than perfection. Yes, you heard me right. There is something more important than perfection, and that is doing it. Just do it. And let me tell you, and let me explain what I'm talking about at that point. Many times we have a story within us that we want to write about, and we may even have started working on a book. We may find some things that we don't like about it. We may find a few things that we do like about it. And so we end up in frustration, trying to be perfect, often is synonymous with procrastination. Procrastination is not good. Procrastination is ending up with no valid excuse on why we don't succeed, why we don't get it done. If we were to look back at many of the current authors of books, poetry, whatever, I'm sure that they can look at their work with a critical eye and say, I should have done this. I should have done that. Even though there may be thousands, millions of raving fans that enjoy the work that they are producing. Perfection is often beyond us. But we allow it to stand in the way of our progress. If you were to look at a hot dog, we don't have time to evenly center the dog between the ends of the bread and do this and do that. Now, the closest thing we come to that, and I'm not sure that I think it's the greatest, but we have hamburger factories. And if you were to go into the back, you will see that each station, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. It's a one-part factory. It's an assembly line. It's a plant. And I'm not sure that that's the most creative way of doing it, but that's what we have gotten ourselves into. We sometimes look at perfection. You can look at a plate of food, and you may want to move a piece of string bean to this spot or that spot. But as you do that, you're wasting time. The food is getting cold. It's becoming unappetizing. And this is what many of us do with our lives. We are there striving for perfection. Yes, we strive for perfection. That is a good thing. But when you allow that to get in the way of the mass work that you've done, the help, the big body of work that you've done, the talent that you have, the experiences that you have, it becomes detrimental. It becomes detrimental. And we don't want to do that. Now, we have young children who are going back to school. Many of them are going back with intimidated that they may not be at the top of their game. Now, this is one reason that we are seeing the start date of schools moved up. Some school systems have gone to a year-round system, and I'm not sure that that is all bad, because usually what other job except being a teacher are you going to have 3 months off? And what we end up doing with our teachers is basically underpaying them to the point that they have to go to work during the summers, many times at any and every job that they can get. I don't think it's fair, but I'm not trying to solve that problem today. We need to become involved, and we need to do it on a consistent basis. Now, many times when we are seeking a goal, we may determine that we're going to work 5-7 days a week. That may not be the most effective. It may be because of your schedule, because of duties and responsibilities that you have, that you can't do it consistently like that. But consistency does not necessarily mean every day. But it does mean having a plan. What are we going to do? We are seeing some school systems go on a 4-day work week now because of the difficulty in getting teachers. Yes, we are facing those types of problems, and sometimes they are of our own doing. We've had systems that have become creative. If you work in the district, we will pay you to go to school, or we will pay for your schooling, sometimes even including books. We have to be innovative. I think one of the ways that we are not being as innovative as possible is in our churches. I am somewhat opposed to the fact that in order to have our grand sanctuary, and I'm not downputting the sanctuaries. I think they are magnificent in showing what is possible. But we have a community sometimes of struggling students. Why, when we have teachers in there that would be willing to donate an hour or two a week or whatever is necessary in order to educate, in order to train, in order to motivate and inspire our students, do we not use those sanctuaries for good purposes? It may be that. Many of us have kitchens. Why aren't we training people in the culinary arts? You know, we could do two things. We can feed people. We don't have to give away the food. We can maintain some system, and there may be times we do want to give that food away. I don't know your community. I don't know the situation. But if people got comfortable coming to church, think of what could happen. I often look, and I'm not saying that we need to look like hobos when we come to church, but as a kid, I did not like the idea of buttoning the top button on any shirt that I had, and let alone wrap a rope around it, which is commonly called a tie. The church that I attend, if I come with an open collar, I'm not ostracized. We are there for the communication with God. Now, I don't intend to go there with my work clothes on, dirty, raggedy, or anything, but I have to condition myself to understand everybody doesn't have everything. My purpose in going is to get the word, and that should be our focus as well. We should welcome people into our sanctuaries. That's a different thing, different purpose. Your congregation may be completely different, and I am okay with that. I am perfectly okay with that. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that our children come up in the right way. I think we need to be involved in their lives to the extent of knowing what's going on in their school. I've had kids and grandkids, and I say, what did you learn in school today? And they say, nothing. And I'll say, well, you wasted your time, didn't you? We learn something. Part of that learning is being able to articulate what we have learned. People come from church. Oh, man, the preacher preached today. What did he preach about? Same thing, whatever. Have we gotten our point across, or have we entertained people for half hour, hour, whatever length of time the service goes? I am not a huge fan of endurance preaching, where we preach for hours and hours and hours and we have people restless in the seats. But again, that is a different thing for a different day. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm not a preacher. I believe in teaching as much as I believe in preaching. Teaching. What am I getting out of this message? What should I get out of this message? How should I live my life until I come back next week? Is there some reason that I can come back during the week? You know, we've had exercise classes in the church. We've had other things. And I think that that is good as well. But what I'm focusing on is our children. Sometimes they go to school, and they may not understand the lesson that was taught. What is wrong with saying, I had difficulty in school today? And the parent saying, what did you have difficulty with? I can help you with this, or I can't help you with that. But let's see if we can find someone who can. I knew early on that my daughter had an affinity for teaching because she's 20 months older than her brother. And one of the bright spots of her day was coming home teaching him what she had learned. Yes, she started at a very early age. And I think this is important. Because we sometimes believe that the expert is that teacher, that preacher, that whoever. We need to teach people within our congregation, within our sphere of influence, whether it be school, whether it be work, whether it be something else, that we can deepen our understanding by sharing with someone else. As a chemist, I sometimes had concepts in my mind, and I found that I deepened my understanding when I tried to explain it to someone who did not understand it. Sometimes it is technical. Unless I understand it well enough, I can't explain it to anybody. But I can explain it if I truly understand it. And so within that, I had to dig deep. I had to find, am I just calling familiar words, or do I really understand the concepts that I'm trying to do here? Sometimes it calls, there's a call for introspection. We have to look inside ourselves. Do we really understand this? I was giving a presentation one time, a presentation that I had given many times before, a presentation that many people had commented on positively. And as I'm doing it, I am hit like a bolt of lightning with an understanding of something that I had been saying that was not technically incorrect, but I didn't know the depth to which it was true. Sometimes you have to live this, sometimes not. But when we go back and look at our children, they need to be able to say, I'm having difficulty with this. Sometimes the solution is to make sure that the teacher understands that the kid is having difficulty with this. That only makes the teacher better, in my opinion. Because if, as a teacher, if I realize that people are not fully understanding this concept, as a true teacher, as a believer in my abilities to teach, I begin to look at ways to make that more effective. I hope that as I'm talking about this, you can see this and apply it to your life, your goals, your ambitions. And that is the purpose of the program, to be able to see and understand. I've talked about many times the fact that Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Goodyear, some other people, five or six other men would get together on an annual camping trip. Well, Goodyear worked with rubber. Ford worked with automobiles and the making of them and the assembly line. Edison was a creative individual, although he had many people creating the things that he put his name on, but he was leading this organization. So he deserves some credit. Other people also deserve credit. But as we look at this, we find that success inspires success. Success inspires success. If my kid comes to me with a problem from school, be it a technical problem, social studies, mathematics, English, whatever the subject may be, sometimes the fact that I can scramble around and find a solution to the problem may be exactly what's needed. It may be exactly what's needed. I've talked about working on my motorcycle. I did not come up with a mechanical vent. I probably could have, but I had other things that were on my plate at the time. I had gotten a chemistry set as a kid, and I enjoyed doing the experiments in it. In fact, I tried to work from the front to the back of that book that came along because they gave certain experiments, certain things that I could do, and I enjoyed watching them. So while other kids were repairing their bicycles, looking forward to working on cars, that was not necessarily my thing. I did find out later that tracking down the cause of a problem was intriguing. But I also found that in law enforcement. I found it in forensics. I found it in chemistry. I found it in so many aspects of my life. this, my friends, is part of the key. As you listen to people successful in other parts of society, other parts of their life, you begin to take on a more enlightened concept of how to do it. So there was benefit in Ford and Goodyear. I think Goodyear came up with vulcanization or something like this. We find that, I believe it was Eisenhower, may have been a different president, but they were in a cross-country journey. It may have been earlier than Eisenhower. And that, I believe it was Goodyear, had given tires to the Army for some of their trucks. And the difference in the ride on those pneumatic tires, the tires that you blow up, was superior to anything, and it ended up in the Army going away from the hard tires to the pneumatic tires. Where did that idea come from? It may have been a cross-pollinization from someone else in somebody else's field, but the principles of success are the ones that drive us. That child that sees that seeking a solution to the problem solves the problem. So rather than sitting there moping, one of the skills that we need to be essential about, or to consider essential, is reading. Reading can take many forms. It can take the traditional form of reading. And in fact, my wife and I have different ways of reading. She likes a book in her hand. I enjoy a book in my hand. But I also enjoy listening to them on the very same cell phone that I'm talking to you on. I think I bought 3 books in the last week, and I can listen to them. I'm gaining knowledge. Now, I have to understand that sometimes it is necessary to make questions, to make comments that I can go back to. You say, well, how do you do that on your phone? It's possible. I can put in a break. I can put in a point to go back and listen to that. My father's Bible used to look like something off of a Mardi Gras parade float, because there were papers hanging out everywhere. Where he had, what he would do is take a strip of paper like a bookmark. It was fairly thin. And when he came across something, he would make notes. Sometimes they were in the margin, but more than likely they were on this paper. And it referred back so that he could go back and do study. And he spent time studying the Bible every day, every week. He was very knowledgeable of it. And this is how he did it. He did it little bit by little bit by little bit. He didn't go to the seminary, but he did study. And he listened to his minister. In fact, there were times when they would discuss differences of opinion. There's a difference between discussing differences of opinion and arguing. There is a civility difference. We can talk about things that we disagree with. On my Sunday program, I talk about events that happened in Black history. Do I think everybody that hears me agrees with me 100%? No, I don't. Do I recoil when people ask questions about it? No. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for discussion. I had thought about putting together a group of men, believers, to answer those questions that we're sometimes too embarrassed to ask in public. We go to Sunday school, and I think it gets a little bit closer there because we have more of an intimate setting. When we have our morning service, we can't stop in the middle and say, hey, I got a question. It's not considered appropriate, but in Sunday school, to an extent, we can do that. And I think that's where a lot of our learning comes from. What are the questions that you have? What don't you understand? and maybe we come away with different understandings. I have some very close relatives of mine, and I stay in contact with them. They are of a different religion than I am. My father and his brother couldn't necessarily agree about it. And what happened, as they went through the discussions, my father wanted to always make sure that they understood that he thought he was right, rather than a conversation where you listen to both parties. Now, I have some people of different religions, close friends, and it's something that we are not going to agree on. We can talk about it. We can be civil about it. But what I'm trying to do here is to tell you that with our children, with our youth, with our employees, with our fellow church members, with our fellow club members, we can express differences of opinion. And I think it's healthy to do so. I've seen products come out with a lot of ballyhoo. Whoa, this is the greatest product that's ever come on the face of the earth. I remember when I think it was Coca-Cola or Pepsi, one of them came out with a clear product. I think it was clear Pepsi. The taste was the same. They had identified it in blind taste tests where people can't see what they're drinking. What they usually do in many of these products is put in a coloring agent. Has no flavor. But we sometimes find that we are contributing to poor health by doing this. At one time, we used to use brominated oil in soda. What is the purpose of brominated oil? What is it used for? It is a fire retardant. Do you think your soda is going to catch on fire? No. What it did was avoid separation. Sometimes when it gets cold, it will separate, and you can see very distinct color bands in it. And this was designed to do that. We were the only country on the face of the earth that permitted it. But sometimes by discussion, sometimes by communications, we can overcome difficulties. But what I'm wanting us to do is to overcome the difficulty that children have. Sometimes they feel that in a classroom, and this is particularly important for teachers, do you understand the concept? There's no shame in not understanding the concept that we're talking about here. And this is why we have tests from time to time. I'm taking a class right now on Udemy, which is basically a series of videos, and interspersed in them are quizzes. I take the quiz, and it's a good thing. And it allows me to put into use that which I think I have learned. And it lets me know, no, you got that wrong. Go back and do this. It is very helpful to me because I can remember times going through, yeah, I think I understand it and move on. Sometimes what I thought wasn't factual. So we have to do that. We have to open those doors for those kids. One of the things that I really used to enjoy about a former pastor is he would have the children come up before regular service, and he would have a brief 2 or 3 minute discussion with the children out of the Bible. It was a brief Bible story. He would ask, are there any questions? Do you understand it? Whatever. And then dismiss them so that they could go play there. Tolerance during a service was recognized, but they got essential skills. They developed them as they moved up in age, and I really enjoyed that. Sometimes the answers that those kids came up with was hilarious, but it was part of learning. It's part of understanding, and we need to make sure of that. So when we have our children, what did you learn today? Tell me, show me. Sometimes we don't have time for that, but that's an essential part of being a parent. I've read stories. One person saw his father reading the newspaper every morning. He would turn it over. He would take to a page and and folded as if he were reading an article, only to find out years and years later that his father could not read. But his father knew the value of an example. So we're teaching our children problems are normal, solutions are varied, but there are solutions that fit the problem. So let us encourage that to our children. Understand that school is your number one priority. School is your number one priority. To adults in business, understanding your business and all aspects of it are your number one priority. There are some things that you may not have time or may not even have the desire to do, but they are essential. And I've used these before. When we talk about running a restaurant, the owner is generally getting the produce, getting the product, preparing a menu, preparing the food, making sure that it is served promptly, et cetera, et cetera, that we take care of our customers, et cetera. But as we talk about that, we can see that that is essential. It is probably the lifeblood of the restaurant. But in doing so, we have overlooked something very, very important. That is our taxes, our bookkeeping. Most people don't have the skills or the time or the desire necessary to do it. I saw firsthand what happened. I was very young. My mother was running a restaurant and got audited. Now, her system was not necessarily the best one at the time, but she saved herself because she had bushel baskets of receipts, and she was able to go back and sort them and et cetera, and she made it through that process. But after that, she realized that she needed a bookkeeper, an auditor, or somebody to handle that part of the business. While she was capable of doing it, it was a distraction from what she wanted to do. She had farmers that came by every morning and brought produce. So she was getting the freshest produce. She was getting and had sourced out most of her other products, the proteins, the breads, the this and that's and whatever. And that was operating. But unless you understand the backstage actions of your operation, you may be missing vital and critical points. So this is what we're doing as we bring our children up. When we bring children home from first grade and they are excited to tell us what they learned in school, and it may be how to sing a song or do a dance, we need to be attentive to that. We need to focus on them for a short period of time. This is what encourages people. When a kid goes to school and says, we did this, show me how you did it. Oh, man, that triggers something else. It triggers a deeper understanding in them. It triggers a deeper appreciation for that teacher that had to stand there and take all manner of acting out on the parts of kids, et cetera, et cetera. To those of you that have children, I invite you, if at all possible, to go to the school sometime, to see what happens, to spend a little bit of time. I know that we got a call from a teacher saying that John was doing a few things that he shouldn't be doing. Not bad, but they were disruptive. He would stand outside of the classroom and wait until the bell rang and jump in. So it was one of those things that I was here. I was just one step away, et cetera. And he would clown his way back to his seat. He was a pure D fool. His mother went to the classroom ahead of the class, found out where he sat, sat in the chair behind where he sits. The bell rings, he jumps in, and he's acting a pure fool all the way back to the seat. The kids are trying to get his attention and say, watch out, watch out. But he thinks they're just eating up what he's laying down. And he sat down, and he got a hand upside the head. Oh, his mother was there. And she had an outfit I think we had gotten for Halloween that was bits and pieces of different things. There was a poodle skirt, to those of you that are old enough to know what that is, and some shoes that they didn't like her to wear and whatever. And she said, you keep that up, I'll be here every day, and that's the outfit that I'm going to wear. No more problems. No more problems. Encourage our children. Encourage our communities. We probably have adults in our community that would love to learn to use computers. We have ministers that could further that along. Doesn't have to be a world of sin out there. It can be a world of looking up. Because sometimes when I'm teaching Sunday school, I will look up and find people teaching a particular lesson. I don't just listen to one. I listen to more than one. And I try to do that so that I can have a rounded understanding of what's taking place. I don't take everything as gospel, pardon the pun, but it does broaden my horizon as to what's there. So what I'm trying to get across to you as we develop principles of success, Dick Gregory had daughters and he had a son. And his daughters were excellent in school. And his son overheard teachers saying, he's so dumb you wouldn't know he's a Gregory. And it affected him. But he had an open line of communication with his father. Now, many of you may not know the name Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory was a comedian, but he was based on the truth. It was funny, but it was a way of getting information over to people. He was very effective at that. He said, you follow your sister. You do what she does. She came home, and the first thing that she would do is study. She studied and got that out of the way. The lessons that she had learned in school were fresh. His grades changed dramatically. And to the best of my recollection, I think he became a physician. Many times our kids are struggling because they don't know the order, the priority of what to do, when, and how. We as adults have a responsibility to teach that. This thing of coming home, saying, I don't have any homework. Well, I learned something from my son when he was at West Point, the United States Military Academy. They had a system. You read ahead. You read the chapter ahead before you got there. They would give you a test coming in to understand what you understood. Huh, novel idea, right? That which people had difficulty understanding is what they focused on. And it was a fast-moving class. A fast-moving class, because we don't go in flat-footed. We don't go in without understanding something. This is the importance of our Sunday school lesson, because it gives us the opportunity to read that material before we get to church, before we get to Sunday school. It allows us to be somewhat comfortable. It allows us to develop our questions, our concepts. And the same thing is possible. If you have a business, and by business, I'm being very, very broad. It may be landscaping. It may be cooking. It may be teaching. It may be working on an idea that you have for an invention or a process. And processes can be very important as well. We look at those. We understand that that is the job before us. and we go ahead and work on that. We try to get as far ahead as we can. This is why when we break down a task to do, we may have a task that says today, write a chapter in the book. That may be way too broad. If it is too broad, what happens? We feel frustrated that we didn't get it done. Same thing happens when we put 20 things on our to-do list and can only accomplish 4 of them. What is wrong with putting 4 on the list and accomplishing 4? If we have more time, we might look at number 5. And then tomorrow, that list may be completely reordered because of changes of circumstances. We as adults have the ability to do remarkable things, but we cannot stand there with our feet in concrete. We have to be able to move. We have to be able to take advantage of opportunities. And what we're trying to do is focus on making sure that our young people have that opportunity. One of the things that I am really upset about is that when we talk about deacons in our church, it should be a collection of old folks. There is wisdom in age, but there is also something fundamental and action-taking and daring about younger people coming up. And I think they should be included. What is wrong with having younger people look at the trustees? Sometimes we can come up with innovative ways of saving money because we're thinking in the old terms. Sometimes as old people, we don't want to change. I'm finding that one of the things that I used to enjoy, I let go by the wayside. I used to have a tablet. I have a phone now. I read books on Kindle, but they are too small to read on my phone. Tablet allowed me to read more comfortably because I'm getting older. My eyesight is, while acute, is not as acute as it used to be. And so I am going out tomorrow and buying a tablet. I had a giant tablet. People may have laughed at it. I didn't care. But it was an 18-inch screen. When I was in Bible study, man, I could see what was going on. I could see it across the room almost. But that was something great for me. I looked at one yesterday. I looked at a tablet yesterday. And I talked with someone today, and I think I'm going to look for something larger than what I looked at yesterday. And I think that it is an important tool. I'm depriving myself by not having the tools that I need. As a younger person, I bought the Bible on record. It was for the blind. But it helped me tremendously because I could listen to it, and I could listen to it over and over and over. And we sometimes think that going back and studying something again is retarded. It's not. It may be an advancement. We may have learned things in the meantime, or we may not have fully understood it the first time through. There is nothing wrong with acknowledging that you don't understand completely what's going on. It may take you a long time to do so. Now, we've got about 15 more minutes left in the program, but I do want to encourage any of those of you listening that if you have questions, if you have suggestions, if you have comments that you would like to make, that you can call in. I get excited about the program, and I forget to do this, but that number is 646-668-8217. Many of you are listening on your devices, including cell phones, but if you're using an internet connection, I do not see you on the dashboard. I cannot recognize you. I cannot single you out for a question, comment, or whatever that you have. I encourage it because no matter how clear I think I am, the proof of the pudding is whether you understand it, whether we agree, or whether we can have a discussion about it. Now, let me tell you something else about discussions. I have sat in meetings with high-powered members of management, and sometimes they will ask a question. And to me, it sounds like a dumb question. Sounds like it is by someone that has no idea of what they're talking about. And sometimes that question is designed. I find out that this is sometimes a great learning tool, because what they were trying to do is make sure that everybody was on the same page. Okay, this is what da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it's this. Okay, so I was wrong in thinking this. Yes, this is what we're talking about. So everybody gets a chance to hear that dialogue, to get on the page without embarrassment to themselves. And sometimes that is an essential part of training. Teach your kid to be able to talk to the instructor, to ask the teacher questions. I'm not sure that I understand this. Sometimes it may be as simple as the teacher saying, read this book, which is a simplified version of it, and let's get together and see if you understand it. Sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes people don't want to bother the teacher, and I can understand that. But I think teachers like to see success. They like to see principles in action. And a teacher is not necessarily the one standing in front of a classroom. That teacher may be your peer. You may have a peer that you need to teach. There are ways of doing it. In large groups, there are ways of doing it in smaller groups. And it is incumbent upon us to find the best ways of getting that done. Now, as we are nearing the close of the program, I want to pass on some information. Crown Talking Drums is a part of Blog Talk Radio, and we have more programs than this. We're going to be followed up at 8 o'clock by Deacon Armstrong, Wes Armstrong, who has walked the walk, talked the talk. He knows what he's talking about. Some programs fit you, some don't. I was talking with a lady the other day who is joining our Toastmasters Club because she wants to be a more effective speaker. Right now she's a minister. But she is willing to put herself out and learn. And I'm telling her about Blog Talk Radio because we have programs of varying natures on the program. Check it out each day. See what we have here. You may even have an idea for a program. Mine is somewhat different than most. Most are deeply biblical. While I am biblical, I try to give more on the practical side of a situation. We find some ministers minister better to us than others, and we have to do that. We can't just listen at anybody because they have a title of minister behind their name or they put themselves in such a position. We have to understand the depth of their knowledge, what's available, what's going on, and that way we become more effective. More effective. We can be very effective, but we are always striving towards that perfection. And I want to hope that the emphasis today is on what can we do to make it more effective for our children. We sometimes use tablets and computers as babysitters. There are effective ways of using these. If they become things teaching them how to steal cars, I don't think that that's the most effective use of their time. We have to be careful. We have to monitor. Yes, sometimes we may even have to tell them that, yeah, I found this to be a problem, and I don't want you to have that problem. Sometimes the love that we have of our children is being honest with them, being open with them. We have to do that. Sometimes when my daughter was younger, she would speak her mind. My first thought was just, shut up. But then I began to look. Do I want my daughter to always be subservient to someone else? The answer was no. I teach her how to make herself known, to make her questions known, to be outspoken about what needs to be outspoken. I think that has paid off in dividends. I talk to her almost every day. And I find that while there are frustrating parts of work, we have some idea of it. I have not substituted in the schools in quite a while because of the health concerns I had. And when COVID came up, I said I'd need to keep myself here. But I have not completely divorced myself from teaching because I'm doing it now. I do it on Sunday. Sunday at 4 p.m., we talk about life. We talk about those people, places, and events that have been largely left out of history. And it absolutely infuriates me. We have people wanting to make sure that Black history is not taught. I think Black history should be taught. But I think Native American history, I think Asian history, I think Hispanic history, I think all history should be taught. Because we are in a world that is highly, highly diverse. I know that it would be controversial in schools, but sometimes we need to talk about different religions so that we can understand and respect what's going on. I'm not a Buddhist, but I would like to make sure that I don't offend them. The other religions, I don't want to offend them. There are other cultures, and I need to know how to make sure that I don't offend them, how we can work together. And we can do that because we're human beings. We were created by God and given knowledge. Yeah, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, but I think we have to understand that among the information that we have, that there is a higher power. And that power is, a certain amount of it is doled out to us. We have questions. We have answers. We find that many people are not aware of culture in Africa because they were raised up watching Tarzan movies, the King of the Jungle, and all of the natives were just the dumb idiots watching this white man swing through the jungle. No, that isn't what happened. We had great civilizations in Africa, great civilizations in Africa that rival anywhere in the world. But because people haven't told us, sometimes don't believe. We can explore. We can read. We can know what our sermon is going to be about Sunday. We can know what our lesson is going to be about Sunday. That gives us a leg up. But do we use it most often? No. Those people that we look at and admire usually do. Therein lies, my friend, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, a primary key to success, knowledge, knowing you, being somewhat familiar. We can incorporate ideas into what we know. We change ideas that we know. And we do that with the love and blessings of God. I want you to prepare a plan of discussion for next week. I want you to call in. I want to have a more active involvement next week. We have about 5 minutes left. I understand, or I know it within my heart, that Dean Armstrong is going to bring us a great message at 8 o'clock. And I want to give him time to sign in. I need to completely sign out so that he can start to sign in so he can be ready at 8 o'clock. Listen, take a listen. If it's for you, come back week after week. If it's not, look at other programs around. I'm sure he's not offended by that, but tell people who may be and may find value in that discussion about it. Let's not keep a light under a barrel. Let it shine. I hope that you've enjoyed this program. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. We believe in our God. We believe in ourselves. and we can accomplish. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. I'll see you again next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and stay tuned for Deacon Armstrong.